الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى الشرط السابع، الشرط السابع، the seventh condition، الشرط السابع يعني من شروط الصلاة، from the conditions of the salah, the seventh condition. The seventh condition from the conditions of as-salah. He says, دخول الوقت. دخول الوقت. That the entrance of the time. The entrance of the time. Meaning that the time for the particular prayer, it must enter and come in before the prayer will be considered correct. The author, he says, وَالدَّلِيلُ مِنَ السُنَّةِ وَالدَّلِيلُ مِنَ السُنَّةِ And the evidence of this from the sunnah, hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, annahu amma an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi awwal al-waqt wa fi akhirih, thumma qala ya Muhammad as-salatu ma bayna hadhain al-waqtayn. The evidence for the fact that the entrance of the time is a condition from the conditions of the salah, the evidence The evidence that the entrance of the time is a condition from the conditions of the salat, the author, he says, the evidence from the sunnah. The evidence from the sunnah that the entrance of the time is a condition from the conditions of the salat is the hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salam, that he led the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the prayer, in the first time, and in the earliest time of the prayer, and in the end, and the last time of the prayer. In the earliest time of the prayer and in the last time of the prayer. And then he said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salat ma bayna hadain al-waqtain, that the prayer is between these two times. That the prayer is between these two times. Referring to the well-known narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which occurred on the morning just after the night of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, after the obligation of the prayer five times in one day and one night was made and prescribed. On the very next day, Jibreel alayhi salam, he descended on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he led the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the five daily prayers, beginning with the dhuhr, and each prayer he led the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the first day at the very beginning of the time of that prayer, at the time that prayer entered. And then the very next day, he descended again, alayhi salam, on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and led him in prayer again, but this time at the end of that time, of each prayer. And then he mentioned that the prayer is between these two times. So on the first day, he clarified in application the beginning of each prayer, and on the second day, he clarified in application the end of each prayer, clarifying that these prayers have specific times. This is a clear evidence from the sunnah, and this hadith is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and also Jabir radiyallahu anhu, and others as well. But from the most famous wordings is that which is in Sunan Abi Dawud, and likewise in at-Tirmidhi, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and also that which is connected by Al-Imam al-Nisa'i, from the hadith of Jabir radiyallahu anhu, about this event that occurred. And there are many other narrations as well, clarifying the details of the times of the prayer. But this is what the author, he's referring to here. He says, وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَقُوتًا أي مَفْرُوضًا فِي الْأَوْقَاتِ. He says, and likewise the statement of Allah the Most High, and the meaning of which is, and indeed the Salat, it is made obligatory upon the believers at prescribed times. It has been made obligatory upon the believers at prescribed times. He says, the meaning of Kitab and Mawqutan, any prescribed times, أي مفروضاً في الأوقات, mean made obligatory at times that are prescribed. Made obligatory in times that are prescribed. He says likewise, وَدَلِيلُ الْأَوْقَاتِ, and the evidence for the times, قوله تعالى, the statement of Allah the Most High. The statement of Allah the Most High, أقيم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. The author, he mentions the evidence for these times. The evidence for the times is the statement of Allah the Most High. That which means establish the Salat. And establish the Salat لدلوك الشمس, meaning at the midday, meaning whenever the sun meets the peak and begins to descend at the beginning of the time of Dhuhr, meaning just at midday. لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ يَعْنِي إِنْدَ زَوَارِهَا إِنْدَ زَوَارِهَا إِلَّا غَسِقِ اللَّيْلِ until the darkness of night time. وَقُرْآنِ الْفَجْرِ and the recitation of the Qur'an at Fajr. And indeed, the recitation of the Qur'an at Fajr is witnessed. And indeed, the recitation of the Qur'an at Al-Fajr, at the time of Al-Fajr, يعني the Salat of Al-Fajr, it is something that is witnessed. So here in this noble verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to those times in general, has referred to the times of the five daily prayers in general. The first one, لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ, this is the Dhuhr prayer. This is the beginning of the Dhuhr prayer. لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ يعني إِنْدَ زَوَارِهَا. So this is at midday, right at midday. And إِلَى غَسِقِ اللَّيْلِ, غَسِقِ اللَّيْلِ until the night time, and this is Isha. So this includes the Dhuhr and the Asr and the Maghrib and the Isha, this time here. From the entrance of the Dhuhr at midday all the way until the coming of night time. This includes all four of those prayers, Dhuhr and Asr, and likewise Al Maghrib and Isha, and then Wal Quran Al Fajr, and the recitation of the Quran and Salat Al Fajr. Yani this has a specific emphasis. In the Quran Al Fajr, kana mashhuda. So this is referring to Salat Al Fajr, Salat Al Fajr. So no doubt the prayers, the obligatory prayers, as-salawat al-khams, laha awqatun ma'luma. They have prescribed times that are well known. They have prescribed times that are well known. And the entrance of the time, what we're discussing here, dukhul al-waqt min akad shurut as-salat. Min akad shurut as-salat is from the most highly emphasized conditions of the prayer. From the most highly emphasized conditions of the prayer. Meaning that even sometimes if a person were not able to bring some of the other conditions in the proper time, meaning the time is about to go out, he's about to miss the condition of the time, then it will be allowed for him to pray in the state that he's in. It will be allowed for him to pray in the state that he's in, and some of the other conditions will fall off because of how emphasized this particular condition is. Because of how emphasized this particular condition is. So, for example, if the prayer is to be established and the time is in, and a person, he does not have water to make wudu with, he does not have water to make the tahara with, and the time is going out, then he will leave the water and he will make tayammum if it is available and if he's able. And if it's available and he is able, he will not wait until after the time is gone in order to get water to make the proper wudu, or even to make the proper ghusl. And the likes like this, if the time is about to go out and the water is not available or he is not able to use it, then he will turn away from that and he will make tayammum. Even if he was in a circumstance where he's not able to make tayammum, he does not have the clean earth to make the tayammum with, or he's not able to make tayammum, there's no water and he's not able to use the water, nor is he able to use the clean earth and the time is about to go out, he will pray in the manner that he's in. These conditions will fall off. Even if he had with him a hadith, even if he was in, even if it was a hadith akbar, even if he had on his clothing najasa, and the time is about to go out, and he's not able to change his clothing, and he has no water to purify his clothing with, or he's not able to use it, and the time is about to go out, these conditions, they fall off. For example, we've seen the fourth condition, which is the great condition, raful hadithi, and likewise the fifth condition as well, which is izalatun najasa. Rafu al-hadithi, to remove the hadith, and to be in a state of tahara. And this is something major. Even the author, he mentioned many different issues related to that affair, clarifying the importance of raising the hadith. And there are many details with regards to that. And likewise, as well, removing the najasa, removing the filth and the impurity from the body, and from the clothing, and from the place of prayer. But more emphasized than that is the condition here, the condition of the time. That the time it must be in, and the time it has a beginning and it has an end. And that prayer has to be performed in the proper time. The prayer has to be performed in the proper time. It cannot be performed before the time, nor should it be delayed until out of the time. Nor should it be delayed until out of the time. The prayer, it has a specific time. And it's not allowed to perform it before that time comes in. And it's not allowed to delay it likewise. And it's not allowed to delay it likewise. And this is in general. We discuss, inshallah, some of the details. But to understand this affair. So therefore, if the time is going out, and a person, he's not able to remove the hadith, or he's not able to remove the najasa because of his situation or circumstance, then he will pray how he is. He will pray how he is. And his prayer will be accepted, and he will not have to repeat. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. So we see a mistake that some of the people, they fall into today, like from those who are in a sickness, for those who are sick, or those who are in the hospitals and the likes like this, and maybe they are immobile, not able to move, not able to use the water, not able to get out of the bed in the proper time for the prayer and the likes like this. So some of them, they think that they will not pray, and they will just leave the prayer until later, whenever they are able to move and make wudu, or able to cleanse themselves and the likes like this. And this is wrong. Rather, if their mind is there and the time of the prayer comes in, it's an obligation upon them. It's an obligation upon them, like it's an obligation upon the rest of the believers. The obligation remains upon them and does not fall just because they're not able to bring some of the conditions. Just because they're not able to bring some of the conditions. They already brought the most important conditions, which is al-islamu wal-aqlu. Al-islamu wal-aqlu wal-tamyiz. They have those conditions there. So long as these conditions are present, if this issue of the time is going to go out, these other conditions, they'll fall off. These other conditions will fall off because of the importance of this affair. Because of the importance of this affair. So the one who is in a hospital bed, for example, and he's sick, maybe he has a hadith with him, maybe he has a major hadith, maybe he has a minor hadith, either way. Maybe he has najasa on him, on his body. Maybe he has najasa on his body and his clothing. Maybe even in his bed, in the place that he's going to pray, because of his circumstance. Maybe he's left in the room for some time by himself, or he doesn't have someone to come clean him in time, or to help him cleanse himself in time. So if the time is coming and going, and he has not yet had the opportunity to cleanse himself or make wudu, then he will pray as he is, and he will not let the time pass. Then he will pray as he is, and he will not let the time pass, because of the importance of the condition of the time. So the condition of the time in these dire circumstances takes precedence and is more emphasized. So we know from previous classes and studies together, alhamdulillah, that the majority of the people of knowledge, yani from the fuqaha, and likewise from the muhaddithin, whenever they speak about al-ahkam, hadith al-ahkam, they generally start the books with the arkan al-islam, yani from the deeds, al-ibadat, qism al-ibadat, yani the part about the actions of worship. So they'll begin with the salah, and then the zakat, and then the sawm, and then the hajj, and then the hajj. This is the normal arrangement and order of the books of fiqh. And likewise, the books of a hadith al-ahkam. But before salat, they have a chapter first, and that is at-tahara, because that is considered one of the greatest conditions of the salah. So in reality, they don't begin with salah, they begin with tahara. Then the intention is to begin with salah. Salah, it comes first. But like in miftahu salat, at-tahur. Miftahu salat, at-tahur. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the key to the prayer is the tahur, is the tahara, is the purity. So they will begin with the tahara in order to enter into the chapter of salah. This is the methodology of the majority of the muhaddithin wal-fuqaha. Like if you look, for example, the book that we're studying, Umdat al-Ahkam, this is the manner, beginning at Tahar, Kitab al-Tahar, and then Kitab al-Salah, likewise Bulugh al-Maram. And the majority of the books, likewise the books of fiqh, are in the same manner. This is the general methodology and arrangement of the people of knowledge with regards to these affairs. Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, he looked at it a bit different, and he began the Muwatta. Al-Muwatta al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he began with Kitabu Wuqut al-Salah. Wuqut al-Salah, yani Mawaqit al-Salah. And he emphasized this affair. So before even Tahara, he began with Kitab Wuqut al-Salah. Yani Mawaqit al-Salah. And then after that, Kitab al-Tahara. Then after that, Kitab al-Salah again. So he has Kitab al-Salah twice. The Book of Salah twice. Yani the Book of Salah in the very first chapter. But what is intended here? Kitab al-Wuqut. Wuqut al-Salah. So he began with the Salah, but the time of the prayers. And then after that, he went to Kitab al-Tahara. And then after that, he went back to Kitab al-Salah, yani the details of the salah and the obligation of salah and so on and so forth, and the jumu'ah and to the end of the issues related to the salah. This is just the benefit that the people of God has mentioned, clarifying the importance of this particular condition. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, he realized this and recognized this. So we see that that's actually correct based upon what has preceded. That if there's ever a conflict between the two, one is not, he will not be able to make tahara. He will not be able to make tahara except for out of the time. For example, if a person, the time is almost down and there's no water. There's no water where he's at. He has 5 minutes to pray. 5 minutes before the time goes out. It's dhuhr time, 5 minutes before asr begins. He can possibly get some water, but it will be a 20-30 minutes until he's able to get his hands on the water to make wudu. Will he delay the time, or will he pray in the state that he is? He'll pray in the state that he is. So therefore, if the dirt is available, he'll still make tahara. He'll still make tahara with the earth and not the water. Even if that's not available, then the time comes first. So he'll pray in the proper time. He will not wait and delay until later, until he's able to use the water. At this time, the obligation or the condition of using the water falls off. The condition of using the water falls off. It goes down because the time is going to go out. This is not only the case with conditions. Some of the conditions, likewise, some of the conditions as is preceded, they will be excused any with regards to the case of the time. Likewise, even some of the pillars as well. Somebody who's in a situation is not able to stand or is not able to face the Qibla for some time. And then that time is going to proceed until the time of the prayer goes out. Then the obligation or the pillar of standing or the pillar of facing the Qibla will fall off, and he will pray in the direction that he is, sitting in the manner that he is, or lying in the manner that he is, and the likes like this. So this is all emphasizing the importance of the time. Allah knows best the reason why the majority of the fuqaha and the scholars of hadith and the likes, whenever they speak about these rulings and they either arrange the hadith in these different chapters or these issues in fiqh in these different chapters, why they choose to begin with tahara, and Allah knows best, is because it's because of how many different issues are related to that. And in the book of tahara, there are a number of issues. There's the chapter of the type. There's water, the types of water, what water is permissible and what water is not permissible. Likewise, the vessels and containers that contain the water. Some of them are lawful, some of them are not. So there's rulings related here. Then likewise, the issue of wudu, and then likewise, the issue of ghusl, and likewise, the issue of janaba, so on and so forth. And likewise, removing the hadith, this is the wudu, and likewise, yani the major hadith, that's the janaba, the ghusl janaba. And then also there's the chapter of removing the najasat. And also there's adab shar'iyya in doing these affairs. There's adab, there's etiquettes and manners in order to remove these impurities, and likewise, in order to lift the hadith. So there are a number of masail and issues related to the topic of tahara. So Allah knows best, they put this in the beginning because of how many important affairs are related to that. And then many times whenever they begin Kitab al-Salah, they will begin Kitab al-Mawaqi. They'll begin with the times, just as Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, he did in his work Umdat al-Ahkam. This is all clarifying the importance here of this particular condition, al-shartu al-sabi'. So dukhul al-waqti shartun min shurut al-salah. Dukhul al-waqt shartun min shurut al-salah. That the fact that the time will enter is a condition for the correctness of the prayer. Shartun li sihhat al-salah. We know that we're discussing now all of these conditions, the shurut sihhat al-salah. This is our discussion, the conditions for the correctness of the prayer. Conditions for the correctness of the prayer. These prayers must be obtained and must be brought and performed and maintained throughout the prayer in order for the prayer to be considered correct. But there's also something specific about this particular condition, that not only is it a condition, also it's a sabab. Dukhul al-waqt shartun li sihhat as-salah wa sababun li wujubiha, and it's also the reason for its obligation. Meaning, for example right now, Salat al-Dhuhr is not obligatory upon us. It's not obligatory upon us right now to pray Salat al-Dhuhr. It's not Dhuhr time. Even Salat al-Isha, Salat al-Isha is not obligatory upon us to pray. Why? It's not obligatory for you. Do we have to stand up now and pray? Pray Salat al-Isha? La, because why? Because the time did not enter. So the obligation of that particular prayer
is not established until the time enters. So the reason for the obligation of the salah is the entrance of the time. So the people of knowledge, they mention, السَّبَبُ هُوَ مَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ وُجُودِهِ وُجُودٌ وَمِنْ عَدَمِهِ الْعَدَمِ لِذَاتِهِ. And it's different from the shart. We took the definition of the shart before. الشَّرْطُ مَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ عَدَمِهِ الْعَدَمِ وَلَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ وُجُودِهِ وُجُودٌ وَلَا عَدَمُ لِذَاتِهِ. We discussed this before, the definition of a condition and the terminology of the scholars of usul al-fiqh. Likewise, the sabab is another term that they use. A sabab min al-ahkam al-wad'iyyah. Min al-ahkam al-wad'iyyah. A sabab huwa ma yalzamu min wujudihi wujudun wa min adamihi al-adam. Yani if the reason is there, the ruling is there. And if the reason is not there, the ruling is not there. So the reason for the obligation of Salat al-Fajr, for example, is that the Fajr has risen. So if the Fajr does not rise, then the Fajr is not obligatory. And the reason for the obligation of the Dhuhr is that the sun will reach the Zawal, the middle of the sky, and then it will move. It will begin to move to the west. It will begin to move to the west. It will come moving from the east all the way till it reaches the peak of the sky, and then it will begin to move in the other direction. Whenever it begins to move in the other direction, this is called Zawal. So the Dhuhr begins at this time. So if it's before Zawal, then the obligation of Dhuhr had not yet been established, because the reason is not established. Because the reason is not established. The rest of the conditions are only conditions for the correctness of the prayer. But the issue of Dukhul al-Waqt, the entrance of the time, this is a condition for the correctness of the prayer and a reason for the obligation of the prayer. And a reason for the obligation of the prayer. So these are some very important points with regards to this affair. Also to emphasize the importance of this affair is what the people of knowledge have mentioned, that there's a consensus, there's an ijma from the people of knowledge that the one who prayed before the time, his prayer is not accepted, regardless of his situation. Somebody who prayed before the time came in, whether he did not know or he forgot, or he was negligent, or whatever the excuse may be. Somebody told him wrong. Somebody told him it was Dhuhr time, and actually they looked at their clock, and maybe their clock was wrong, for example, for one reason or another. And he prayed at the wrong time before Dhuhr came in. His prayer is not accepted by consensus of the people of knowledge. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned about this, rahimahullah, he says, وَالْوَقْتُ شَرْطٌ مَا الْعِلْمِ وَالْجَهْلِ وَالْعَمْدِ وَالنِّسْيَانِ. That the time, the entrance of the time, is a condition for the prayer, along with knowledge and ignorance and intention and forgetfulness. And with knowledge, meaning a person, whether he knew or not, knowledge or ignorance, whether he knew or he did not know. He knew that the time was not in, or he did not know that the time was in. He knew the time or he didn't know the time. It's still a condition. He intentionally prayed before time, or forgetfully prayed before time. And he did it on purpose, or he did it on accident, it's still a condition. It's still a condition. And meaning there's no excuse here. He said, فَمَنْ صَلَّ قَبْلَ الْوَقْتِ لَزِمَتْهُ الْعِيَادَةِ فِي الْوَقْتِ لَكِنْ إِنْ كَانَ مَعْذُورًا مِثْلُ الْمَطْمُورِ أَوْ الْمُغَيَّمَ عَلَيْهِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ عَمْدًا آثِيمًا. This is the end of his statement, rahimahullah ta'ala. So it says, so whoever prayed before the time, it's an obligation for him to repeat that prayer in the time. Whoever prayed before the time, it's an obligation for him to repeat that prayer in the proper time. And if he had an excuse, for example, someone who was matmur or mughayyam alayhi, the matmur, somebody who was under the ground, he's held captive under the ground. Somebody who is, for example, in a cell, and he's not able to see the time. Or somebody who is mughayyam alayhim, there's clouds in the sky, and he's not able to see the sky to identify the time. And these are the examples that he made. But this is not limited to that. So the issue now is that any person who prayed at the wrong time, if he had an excuse for why he prayed at the wrong time, there's no sin upon him. But he still has to repeat the prayer if he finds out. If he's informed, or he learns that he prayed at the wrong time, he has to repeat that prayer. If it was an accident, he has an excuse, then there's no sin upon him. And if he were to do that on purpose, he were to pray intentionally before the time enters, then this is a sin. This is along with the fact that prayer is not accepted, he's considered sinning. وَلِيَهْذُ بِاللَّهِ. So one will not pray one will not pray intentionally before the time comes. Some people, maybe they're in a hurry. Some people maybe they're hastening. Some people maybe they think that they're busy and they want to do something. And the time is not suitable in their mind for their circumstance. So maybe they'll hasten and pray before the time. They'll pray before the time. Or even sometimes some people, they'll gather the prayer, praying the Asr time and the Dhuhr time, claiming that they're gathering, but without a legislative excuse, without a proper excuse. And the likes like this, then this is not going to be accepted. It's not allowed to pray the prayer outside of his time, not before nor after, without an excuse. And even if he prayed before, there's no excuse for that. And the only way there would be an excuse to pray the prayer before the time, if it's a prayer that's gathered with the prayer before it. Like praying Asr before the time of Asr, at the time of Dhuhr, in circumstances, whenever it's allowed to combine them. When it's allowed to combine them. Now he's praying the Asr before its time, but now because of this intention and because of this excuse, the time of Dhuhr now became the time of Asr. So the time of Dhuhr and Asr, they share in times of need and in times of excuse. And the times of Maghrib and Isha, they likewise share. They become one time in times of excuse and in times of need. And in times of legislated excuse, not in times of negligence and the likes like this, but rather in times of legislated excuse that are considered in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, these times they become one. These times they become one. This is indicated in the verse the author he mentioned. And in Waqima Salata Liduluki Shamsi ila ghasiqi al-layl, and establish the prayer from the noonday until the coming of the darkness of night. And this is including all four of those prayers, Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha. These are two major times. The Dhuhr prayer and the Asr time, these are two major times. These are two major times. In certain circumstances, they become one time. And the Maghrib time and the Isha time, these are two major times. In certain circumstances, they become one time. In certain circumstances, they become one time. As for the Fajr, it only has one time. As for the Fajr, it has only one time. It has only one time. Again, to emphasize, if a person who were to pray the prayer, even on accident, or out of forgetfulness, before the time entered, or he began the prayer before the time entered, then he must repeat the prayer. The prayer is not accepted. The prayer is not accepted. Somebody, for example, he thought the Dhuhr came in. He thought that he looked at his watch and he had the time for Dhuhr. It was mentioned on his watch or on his phone. And he thought that the Dhuhr came in. And then come to find out his watch was wrong. Or his phone was wrong. And then in the middle of the prayer he heard the Adhan, for example. Or he simply thought it was Dhuhr. He was miscalculating in his mind. And he started praying, and then after he finished, then suddenly later on he heard the Adhan. Well, subhanAllah. So he prayed before the time. What is the ruling for his prayer? It's not accepted. Then he has to repeat it. He has to repeat the whole prayer. If it was an accident, he's not sinning. And there's no blame on him. But as for the obligation and the responsibility of that prayer, it's not lifted. It's not lifted until he prays again in the proper time. And also, it's not allowed to delay the prayer. It's not allowed to delay the prayer until the time goes out as well. And if a person, he did that without an excuse, then this is a great sin. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. But he will have to make that prayer up. And he will have to make that prayer. So if a person, he delayed the Dhuhr time, for example, because he was scared to pray at work, or whatever the reason. You know, he knows it's time for him to pray, and he didn't pray with the intention to pray when he's done doing what he's doing. With the intention to pray when he's done doing what he's doing. But he will not be done doing what he's doing until the time goes out. Until the time goes out. And this thing that he's doing does not excuse him and allow him to combine prayers. So then if he delayed that, then the obligation doesn't fall off. And this is a major sin in itself. The fact that he's delaying out of the time without an excuse. But he still has to make that up. He'll have to make that up, even if it's outside of the time, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. As for if he were to sleep and to miss the time on accident, and the likes like this, and he was not negligent in his sleep, then he's not sinning. And the time for that prayer is whenever he wakes up and remembers. Or even if he forgot. Even if he forgot, literally, innocently, he forgot that he didn't pray and the time went out, and then he remembered after the time went out, then he will pray as soon as he remembers. And there's no sin or blame on him. And the prayer is performed properly in his right.
and his right. So the point is to realize that the prayer, it has specific times. And each prayer has a beginning and an ending. And in general, so long as the prayer is performed in its specific time, it's considered correct. It's considered correct. Every prayer, it has a specific time. So there's five obligatory prayers. So that means there's five times. We understand this? There's five obligatory prayers, and every prayer has its own time. And every prayer has a beginning and an ending. So in general, so long as the prayer is performed in its time, then the person, he has fulfilled the right, the prayer is accepted, and the obligation has fallen off. And the obligation has fallen off. There are details, inshallah, we're going to take in this particular topic, and maybe we take a class or two in this, so that we can go into a bit of brief detail. Inshallah, it will be light for us and benefit for us. So some of these times, they have two times. And some of these times, they have two aspects. Waqt al-ikhtiyar wa waqt al-ittirar. We'll talk about them in detail, inshallah. For example, the asr time. The asr time has two times. And a time that you're supposed to perform it in, and a time that it's allowed to perform it in times of necessity. We'll talk about the details, inshallah. There's a time that's allowed to perform it in, and if you perform it in that time, you perform the obligation properly and there's no sin upon you whatsoever. And if you delay it beyond that time without a reason and you perform it in the time, in the delayed time, the prayer is still considered correct, along with the fact that the person is sinning by delaying it without right, by delaying it outside of the proper time without right. As for the one who has an excuse, then he can pray it in that time and there's no blame on him, and Allah knows best. There's no blame on him, and Allah knows best. Some of the people of knowledge, likewise, they mentioned about the Isha time has a similar issue. Waqt al-ikhtiyar or waqt al-ittirar. Yani waqt al-ikhtiyar, which is the time that the one who performs the prayer in that time, he is freeing himself of blame, fulfilling that obligation, and there's no sin upon him. As for the one who delayed it to the other time, then this is allowed in circumstances when one has an excuse. When one has an excuse. As for if he didn't have an excuse, then he would be considered sinning. It's not allowed to delay it to that time. It's not allowed to delay it to that time. So in general, the prayers are when one comes in, whenever it goes out, the next one comes in. Like for example, the Dhuha prayer, whenever it comes in right at the time of Zawal. Yani whenever the sun reaches the peak of the sky, and then it begins to move to the west. At this time, at high noon, not 12 o'clock in American time, at high noon, at midday, yani according to the precise calculation, not 12 o'clock here because they play with the times. They play with the times. But at that time, whenever the sun reaches the middle of the sky, then it will start to move to the other direction. At this time, the Dhuhr comes in. Then it will continue. Then it will continue all the way until that time goes out. Whenever, all the way until the time of Dhuhr goes out. Whenever the Dhuhr goes out, the Asr starts immediately. The Asr starts immediately. And then the Asr is going to continue all the way to the setting of the sun. When the sun sets, now the Asr is finished and the Maghrib begins. The Asr is going to go all the way to the sunset. Whenever the sun starts to set, now the Asr ends. Whenever the sun goes behind the horizon, now the Maghrib begins. And then the Maghrib is going to continue all the way until the darkness settles in entirely and the lights and the red colors and the horizon go away entirely and darkness settles in, and now the Isha begins. And now the Isha begins. And the Isha continues all the way until the middle of the night. And then for those who are in need, Wallahu A'lam, it continues all the way until the coming of the Fajr. So this is the general time of the prayer. The general time of the prayer. So long as a person performs it in his proper time, an obligation of that prayer has been fulfilled, and he is free of blame with regards to that. And the responsibility has been lifted. The responsibility has been lifted. The author, he mentioned a number of evidences. From them is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. This is from the fundamental evidences with regards to this issue. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. That indeed, the prayer has been made obligatory on the believers at prescribed times. The prayer has been made obligatory upon the believers at prescribed times, or has been prescribed upon the believers at obligatory times. And these prescribed times, they are obligatory to observe. These prescribed times, they are obligatory to observe. So the author, he says, أي مفروضان في الأوقات. I need to interpret the meaning of this. What does it mean, كتابا موقوتا? He says, رحمه الله, مفروضان.
مفروضا في الأوقات, meaning made obligatory in the times, in the specific times, made obligatory in the specific times. And that which the author he's mentioning is exactly what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma he has mentioned. He says, أي مفروضاً كتاباً موقوتاً أي مفروضاً, meaning that it's been made obligatory, that these are times that are made obligatory. موقوتاً يعني بمعنى المواقيت, that they're obligatory times, times that are made, they're prescribed, and it's obligatory to perform them in these times. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, إِنَّ لِلصَّلَاةِ وَقْتًا كَوَقْتِ الْحَجِّ. What is intended here is that indeed the Salat, it has prescribed times just like the time of Hajj. It has a time just like the time of Hajj. Just like it's not allowed to perform the Hajj except in, الحج أشهرٌ معلومات. We have discussed this affair. Hajj, it has مواقيت. It has مواقيت الزمانية ومواقيت المكانية. He's referring to a زمانية. So there's a specific time for the Hajj. There's a time for the Hajj and for the rites of Hajj. And if the rites of Hajj are performed outside of that time, it will not be accepted. It will not be accepted. So Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is saying that the Salah has times like that, meaning prescribed times that the Salah must be performed in. If they're not performed in those times, it will not be accepted. Just like Hajj, if it's not performed in the proper time, it will not be accepted. It will not be accepted. Likewise, it has been narrated from Zayd ibn Aslam that he says, كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا يَعْنِي مُنَجَّبًا مُنَجَّمًا كُلُّمَا مَضَى نَجْمٌ جَاءَتْهُمْ يعني كُلُّمَا مَضَى وَقْتٌ جَاءَ وَقْتٌ يعني جَاءَ وَقْتٌ آخَرٌ يعني. So he says, Zayd ibn Aslam رحمه الله, مُنَجَّمًا كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا مُنَجَّمًا. مُنَجَّمًا means proportioned out at specific times, proportioned out at specific times. From the wordings or from the meanings of a najm is يعني a portion of something, something that has been made munajjaman, meaning that it's come in portions. They mentioned that the Quran, نزل القرآن munajjaman على النجوم, على النجوم, and it has been revealed in portions, little by little. It wasn't revealed all at one time. It wasn't revealed jumlatan, it was revealed munajjaman, yani على النجوم, yani portion by portion, portion by portion. So this is what is intended here. So the salat is made obligatory in portions, yani not all at one time. Not all at one time. Rather, there's portions, there's specific times. And Ibn Kathir, he mentions what he means. كُلَّمَا مَضَى وَقْتٌ جَاءَ وَقْتٌ. Yani every time one time comes, every time one time goes out, another time comes. Every time one time goes out, another time comes. And this is likewise the position of the majority of the scholars, that whenever one time goes out, the other one comes in. Yani except for the Fajr. And yani the Fajr is known that time goes out with the rising of the sun. The rising of the sun. And it's not connected to another time. As for the Dhuhr and the Asr, whenever the Dhuhr goes out, the Asr comes in. And then whenever that one goes out, the Maghrib comes in. And whenever the Maghrib goes out, the Isha comes in. In this manner like this. So whenever one goes out, the other one, it comes in. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مُقُوتًا. That indeed the prayer has been prescribed upon the believers and made obligatory at specific times. And made obligatory at specific times. So this is what the author he's referring to. Likewise, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, another verse, yani with regards to the obligation of these times. Allah, he mentioned, أَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى غَسِقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. Yani ordering the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an order to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is an order, likewise, for his followers to follow him with regards to, أَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he says, دُلُوكُهَا زَوَالُهَا. دُلُوكُهَا زَوَالُهَا لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ لِزَوَالِ الشَّمْسِ. So this is a reference to زَوَالِ الشَّمْسِ. The Shams is, what's the Shams? The sun. The Shams is the sun. We have to learn vocabulary words. We have to learn vocabulary words. Shams is the sun. So زَوَالِ الشَّمْسِ, the زَوَال means whenever the sun reaches the middle of the sky and then it moves. The sun rises in the east. The sun rises in the east, right? These times of the prayer are connected to signs, from the signs of Allah. And even the legislation of the times of the prayer, these are ayat from the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal. And these times, they're related to the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal. Great signs indicating the greatness of the power and the majesty and the glory and the supreme wisdom and knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal and His mercy, and that He's able to do all things. That He's able to do all things. And in the nighttime, it is completely dark, and then the light comes slowly until the Fajr comes, and it breaks the horizon, gently, gently. In that manner, then it rises and rises until full day comes. until it gets into the middle of the sky. So the sun, it rises. The sun, it rises. And then it rises in the east. And then it will continue all the way till it gets to the middle of the sky. At the time it gets to the middle of the sky, this is called the Zawal. In Arabic, this is called the Zawal. When it gets to the middle of the sky and then it moves, this is called the Zawal. This is called the Zawal. So whenever the sun rises, if someone notices, will find that the shadows of the shadows of things, they're tall, and they're in the opposite side, on the west side. So as the sun is rising, the shadows are getting smaller and they're moving. The shadows are getting smaller and they're moving. So from the means to identify the time of the prayer is to identify the shadows. The shadow is called the dhil. Dhil. This is the shadow. And before dhuhr, it's called dhil. After dhuhr, they call it the fay. So if you have a flat land outside, a flat area, it's all flat, and you take a large stick and you put it in the ground. A long stick, a tall stick, and you put it in the ground, and you watch. After the sunrise, you watch the shadow. The shadow will move. The shadow will move. This is all from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the sun is moving. Because the sun is moving by the command of Allah. And the most gentle and easy and beneficial manner for life to exist on earth. Yani the people of knowledge of these affairs, scientists and the likes like this, they say if the sun was any closer or any further or a little bit hotter or cooler, there would not be life on earth. And to have life on earth is an exact equation. Yani things have to be in exact perfect order for life to be as it is. Yani we have to have this heat and we have to have water, and all of these things that are alive, they have to be in the position that they're in. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created His creation, and He is the one by His command is holding everything in its place, in its position. Everything in its place, in its position. وَالشَّمْسُ لَا يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرُ وَلَا لَيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارُ وَكُلٌ فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَعُونَ the sun never catches the moon, and the night never catches up with the day, but they keep moving in alteration day, time after time. The point is, whenever the sun is rising, then you'll see on the shadow, if you have that tall stick, you'll see the shadow, it is there. It'll start to move and start to decrease. All the way to the sun, it gets to the middle of the sky. Whenever the sun gets to the middle of the sky, the shadow will stop moving. It's getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter, depending on the position of that person in the earth, how close he is to the equator or not, depending on his closeness to the equator, will determine how long the shadow is at the time of dhuhr, at the time just before dhuhr. Those who are closer to the equator, then the shadow is going to be shorter. Those who are closer to the north pole, the shadow is going to be longer. But the point is now is that the shadow is not going to go all the way away, except for on certain days and lands like Mecca, and lands that are very close to the equator. In certain days in the year, then there will be no shadow whatsoever. But that's not something that happens daily. So the point is that the sun will rise, and the shadow will keep decreasing, moving and decreasing until the sun gets to the middle of the sky. They call it kabad as-sama. Until the sun hits the middle of the sky, that shadow will reach a point where it stops moving. And then after one moment, the sun will go to the west. It will fall to the west and start going the other way. Now the shadow will start going the other direction and growing again. At this time, dhuhr entered. At this time, dhuhr entered. So we're going to find out the way to identify the time for dhuhr is like this, and from the shadow. How do you know whenever the sun reached the middle of the sky? Whenever the shadow stops moving. How do you know whenever the dhuhr time is entered? Whenever the shadow starts growing again and moving in the other direction. It starts to grow. It will move, and then it will stop for a brief moment. Allahu Akbar, and then after that it will start going to the other direction, and the shadow will start moving again and growing and going the other way. At that time, when the shadow starts to move again in the other direction, going to the east now this is the time for dhuhr. This is the time for dhuhr. This continues until that shadow, not the whole shadow. You have to count. For example, if we have that stick at the time of dhuhr, you put a mark there on the shadow that's left. You don't count that. That's called fay'u zawal. This is the shadow of the zawal. That portion you don't count. And then the dhuhr continues all the way until from the point that's left and the end of till that shadow becomes the distance of that stick. حَتَّى يَكُونَ ظِلُّ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مِثْلَهُ. At this time, Asr enters. At this time, Asr enters. So this is what is intended by the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, أَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ. دُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ يعني زَوَالِ الشَّمْسِ. This is the زَوَال. So establish the prayer at the time of the زَوَال, meaning directly at midday, as soon as the dhuhr time comes. And then Allah, He says, إِلَى غَسِقِ اللَّيْلِ, until the night comes. Until the night comes. Ibn Kathir, he mentions, إِلَى غَسِقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنِ الْفَجْرِ, and then the recitation of Fajr, يعني صلاة الفجر. Ibn Kathir, he says, رحمه الله, تكون هذه الآية دخل فيها أوقات الصلاة الخمسة. فمن قوله لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وهو ظلامه وقيل غروب الشمس أخذ منه الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء. So based upon what has preceded, the times for the five daily prayers are included in this verse. And so from the statement of Allah the Most High, لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل, from the دلوك الشمس, and from the midday until the غسق الليل, the nighttime, He says, وهو ظلامه. غسق الليل ظلامه is the darkness of the night, referring to the time for Isha. He said, وقيل غروب الشمس. Some of the people mentioned غسق الليل means the setting of the sun, and he referring to the fact that that is not the strongest position. So he's mentioning that غسق الليل, إلى غسق الليل, meaning ظلامه until the darkness of the night. أخذ منه الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء. It's been taken from this, or understood from this, that what is included is الظهر and العصر and المغرب and العشاء. He says, وقرآن الفجر, and the recitation at الفجر, أي صلاة الفجر. What is intended here? صلاة الفجر. It's called Quran because of the fact that it's recommended to make the recitation long at the time of Fajr, and plus the fact that, as the verse mentions, إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا, that indeed the recitation at the Fajr specifically is witnessed. So Ibn Kathir, he continues, rahimahullah, he says, وَقَدْ بَيَّنَتِ السُّنَّةُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ تَوَاتُرًا مِنْ أَفْعَالِهِ وَأَقْوَالِهِ تَفَاصِيلَ هَذِهِ الْأَوْقَاتِ. And the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has clarified in action and in statement the details of these times. The details of these times, tawaturan, meaning a number of narrations that cannot be denied. Their authenticity cannot be denied because of how many they are. And the numerous chains that they have come verifying the authenticity that this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established. He says, بَيَّنَتْ تَفَاصِيلَ هَذِي الْأَوْقَاتِ عَلَى مَا عَلَيْهِ أَهْلُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْيَوْمِ, in the manner that the people of Islam were still upon today, meaning referring to his time. And we say, حَتَّى الْيَوْمِ, and to our time likewise. And he's mentioning that those times were clarified by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those sunan, clarifying the details of these verses, and the Muslims were upon that from that day until his day. And they continue upon that from his day until our day by the mercy of Allah and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a great honor for us. He says, مِمَّا تَلَقَّهُ خَلَفًا مِنْ سَلَفٍ قَرْنًا بَعْدَ قَرْنًا, from that which those who came later have taken from those who have preceded, generation after generation, generation after generation. And he says, كَمَا هُوَ مُقَرَّرٌ فِي مَوَاضِئِهِ وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, and this is something that is established and clarified in detail in its proper place, meaning in the books of fiqh. Details of these affairs are clarified there. So this is something that is well known. The times of the prayer have been clarified and mentioned in general in the book of Allah, and clarified in great detail from the action and statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and carried down generation after generation in application, and the believers that continue upon that today, establishing their prayer and these proper times from the grace and the mercy of Allah. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا, and the recitation of the Quran at Fajr, any meaning in Salat al-Fajr, emphasizing the recitation and the time of Salat al-Fajr. And then Allah, He says, indeed the recitation of the Salat al-Fajr, any meaning the prayer at Fajr, is witnessed. Indeed, the prayer of Fajr is witnessed, meaning the recitation. So therefore, this is why it's highly encouraged to increase and elong the recitation, because this is a prayer that is witnessed. And Ibn Kathir, he mentioned a number of narrations that from them is that which is mutafiqun alayhi, from the haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, يَتَعَقَبُونَ فِيكُمْ مَلَائِكَةٌ بِاللَّيْلِ وَمَلَائِكَةٌ بِالنَّهَارِ, that there are angels at nighttime and angels in the daytime that are taking turns coming in alteration. They are taking turns coming in alteration consecutively. Angels of the nighttime and angels of the daytime, they're coming in alteration. They're angels that come at nighttime, for recording and taking the deeds and doing that which Allah He has commanded, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their angels in the daytime likewise. Angels coming in the nighttime, observing the slaves, and angels coming at the daytime, observing the slaves, doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them. Has ordered them. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَجْتَمِعُونَ فِي صَلَاتِ الصُّبْحِ وَصَلَاتِ الْعَصْرِ. And these angels, they gather, and they come together at the same time, at the salat al-fajr, at the morning prayer, and likewise at the salat al-asr, at the salat al-asr. And whenever one comes, the other one goes. But at these times, they come together. One will descend at this time, and the other will go up at this time. They come at this time. And they unite and they're together at this time, the time of Fajr, and at the time of Asr. So he says, فَيَعْرُجُ الَّذِينَ بَاتُوا فِيكُمْ فَيَسْأَلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ. So those who spent the night with you, they'll go up at this time, meaning at the Fajr time. They'll go up at this time. And their Lord will ask them, and He has more knowledge of you. And He will ask them about you. And He has more knowledge of you. كَيْفَ تَرَكْتُمْ عِبَادِي. How did you leave my slaves? فَيَقُولُونَ أَتَيْنَاهُمْ وَهُمْ يُصَلُونَ وَتَرَكْنَاهُمْ وَهُمْ يُصَلُونَ. He said, and the angels will respond to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we came to them while they were in salah, and we left them while they were in salah, and we left them while they were in salah. This is a great honor for the people of salah. This is a great honor for the people of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. لَا تَخْفَ عَلَيْهِ خَافِيَةً. He knows everything the angels do and everything that we do, everything that has happened, that will happen, that's going to happen. And this was known by Him subhanahu wa ta'ala before He created the creation. It was written with Him tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the fact that this narration has come in this manner, and that the angels, they move in this manner, and all of these affairs in the creation occur in this manner, this is to honor those who pray. This issue here, this narration here, is in honor of those who pray. يَتَعَقَبُونَ فِيكُمْ مَلَائِكَةٌ بِاللَّيْلِ وَمَلَائِكَةٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. Allah is asking like this. He's not asking in order to know. He's asking in order to show the virtue of those slaves. They say, the angels, we come to them while they're praying, and we leave them while they're praying. So this is a great, great honor for those who pray, and a great, great encouragement to establish the prayer, especially in congregation, especially in the Fajr time and the Asr time, and in all of the prayers. May Allah grant us success. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.